Welcome to Brass Tack Sunday for today, the 30th of August, 2026. It's the last Sunday in the month of August. I'm Jamal Slocum, your moderator, and it's a pleasure being here with you. I think we did it three times this week. No, this is the start of a new week, so it's a little different. The technical operator and producer today is John Stout. Certainly a pleasure working with you as always, John. And thank you, Joel, for holding down the morning shift. It's Brass Tack Sunday. And today's program is brought to you by the Barbados Museum and Historical Society. Well, let me say this. I've heard the radio program. I've heard the points of banter coming across the stations, especially at crop over time. I think it started somewhere in the crop over season. And I heard about this concept. And I was like, this is interesting. This is quite interesting. And one afternoon on fireworks, we actually toyed a little bit with it in terms of asking Barbadians what were their songs that they would choose. And it really made me ponder. It made me question, you know, what really is a Barbadian song? Then it made me ask the question to the listeners, or rather to Carol, who was with me in studio. And then I said, you know, but what makes an iconic Barbadian song? Because over the years, we've had so many different songs that represented the time where we were as a country. And I'm speaking back even beyond 1966, but for this purpose, we are looking at it from the lens of the 60th anniversary of Barbados. So, today, 60 years, 60 songs, one nation's soundtrack. 60 years, 60 songs, one nation's soundtrack. And there will be a time for you to call this program today to share your thoughts. Because this is a conversation, not just for those guests in the studio who I'll share with you shortly, but it's for you also. So I'll just share that number with you, 434-1790. That's 434-1790. And you will have the opportunity, certainly, to call us. And I know that there are some of you who are a little shy and prefer to send a WhatsApp message. That opportunity is there for you as well, 266-4862. And for those who didn't catch it the first time, let me share both with you one more time, 434-1790 or 266-4862. As I said, today's theme is a unique one, 60 years, 60 songs, One Nation soundtrack, and today's program is brought to you by the Barbados Museum and Historical Society. And I have their deputy director with us, Mr. Kevin Farmer.
Good morning, and I was going to say good morning, Barbados, but that's a different show. Good morning, VOB and Starcon Country. I'm looking forward for Brass Tack today to really discuss BIM at 60, how we as Barbadians remember who we are as a people. You know, we like to say, who do you think you are, or who you? Mm-hmm. I think that is reflected in our music.
Well, you know, there's a song that Gabby sang years ago, and I have to ask in this context. Uh-huh. Gabby said, who Gabby think he is?
Precisely.
So who Barbados think she is?
Correct.
You could probably ask it that way.
Correct. I totally agree with that, Jamal. And I think for us, that's why BIM at 60 is so important. Mm-hmm. Because it's about asking Barbadians to really delve deeply into not only their memory of our music, mm-hmm. but how that memory makes them feel about themselves, mm-hmm. and therefore about our nation. And to help us select what are the best 60 songs of the last 60 years that speaks to who we are, mm-hmm. speaks to how we feel about ourselves.
Only 60
years. We can't do everything. Mm-hmm. You know, when Barbados reaches 100 years of independence, yeah. we could talk about BIM at 100.
Okay.
But right now, we're talking about BIM at 60.
Okay.
And I wanted to think across all musical genres. Mm-hmm. Soca, Kaiso, gospel, R&B, jazz, spooge, tuck, and everything in between. Classical, yes, we have created classical music. And funk, because it's also interesting, what constitutes a Barbadian song? Well, the top bass guitarist in Boney M was a Barbadian. Did he help to write some of those songs, and therefore can those songs be considered? You know, just throwing that out there.
No, let's get too far, but I didn't hear you say Bashment yet, though.
I ain't talking about Bashment yet.
Okay. We can talk Bashment today, too?
We can talk Bashment.
Okay.
I am not the Bashment expert. I grew up, I'm going to show my age. I grew up with dub and Rubber Dub Illusion.
Okay.
And how that has influenced our music.
You're talking about Gunny Ranks, David Pigott, Kid Sight, Lil Rick in that
yes.
period.
Yep. Yeah. Talking about all of that. But at the end of it is, how does this music tell us who we are?
As a people. And as a country.
Because it must reflect that.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing here and what we're seeking to build out, once we have those 60 songs, it is then delving into the history of how they came to be, and then how that reflects us, and how that then speaks to how the museum, as a space that holds the memory of our nation, begins to respond to the different ways in which memory is held. Because it's not always in the object, is in a song, or is in a particular recipe that you like, a particular pudding in a South place that is only gonna sahada. Yeah. You know, all of that makes us who we are.
I was about to ask you, what does a museum have to do with 60 songs?
Everything. If you understand that the museum is the one place that 100 years from now you can go to see, touch, hear, feel, and maybe even taste aspects of your culture that stretches back over 2,000 years, that's where you go. There's no other place that you can go to find that but a museum. And a museum is not about dead things. It is about reflecting us. Yeah. It is about the present and the contemporary. It's about understanding that the costume that you're going to see was made out of Ceylon cotton that got its name from Barbados, Giuseppe Barbadensis, and that the dye that turned it blue called indigo was also grown and produced here. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, there you go. And how that then reflects who you are as a person. Or we go to a song. All of us know Mini Gone to Brazil. We sing it as young school children. But do we know that that started life as a calypso? And it was life as a calypso, talking but a gruesome partner-on-partner violence. And the excuse given, why can't I find Millie? Oh, Millie gone to Brazil. Why? Because at that point in time, things were hard in Barbados. So we can even think about it, given the season that we're in. Is that crop season done? You're trying to stretch the money. Money is stretching. But there's this opportunity to go to Brazil to help build a railway, or to help people to build infrastructure, which we did in a place called Manaus, in Brazil. So lots of
Barbadian names.
Lots of Barbadian names there.
Yeah.
So how does that then connect to us? And the only connection that we have is this particular song, and the way how this song encapsulates what happened to a particular person at a particular time. All of that is history.
Yeah.
So what we're asking Barbadians to do is to find that song. For some people, it might be Boots. For others, it may be Emerton. For others, still, it could be We Surviving.
Yeah.
You know, for others.
But don't give us too much.
No, yet. I ain't giving you too much, but I'm just saying that this is part of what this is all about.
I don't want you prompt the audience too much.
Hey, listen, right now I'm going to tell you, the audience know more about Barbadian music than me.
Well, you have a colleague you brought along with you, Errol Clark, and I thought it was interesting when they introduced you, because I saw in the email notes that this gentleman, Errol Clark, works in finance. And I said, oh, that can't be right. That can't be right at all. Because Oh, that maybe he works in the archives, or he works in some other aspect of the museum to preserve the history of our country. But also, he may have intimate knowledge of music. And you do work in finance, yes, but you also have intimate knowledge about music.
Yes.
Introduce yourself to the audience.
Good morning, Barbados. I'm Errol Clark. I've been involved in music from 1995 directly. Mm-hmm. But before that, I was attending Calypso Tents from Yoruba Yard. So music was something that I always had a love for. But coming to the museum, I then saw culture and history from a different aspect, and how they told them did a lot to bring our image together. And the museum is now 93 years old, mm-hmm, and approaching its 100th anniversary. And at this time, we are looking at how we can redevelop our galleries and develop our image, mm-hmm, and the image of Barbados. And if you remember, Errol Barrow made a famous speech in 1986, which asks, what kind of mirror image do you have of yourself? The process that we are going through now is involving Barbadians in defining that mirror image that they have of themselves. Mm-hmm. Music, people, culture, history. And this is the first phase in that step where people look at the songs that had some influence on Barbados since independence. What we did was to look at curating a set of songs, there are nearly 300 songs, from which Barbadians would select those 60 songs that looked at a whole wide range of things: independence, migration, labor, race and class, crop over, whatever you could think about. And as an entertainer yourself, you will know that music can have a greater impact than political speeches or politics itself. Music really touches the heart, the soul, whatever you want to put it. And in this process where we are trying to define where we are going, music is key to that. The 60 songs are just part of it. Huh? We are also going to be looking at about 100 videos that we're putting together on the people who have been involved in that process. Jewel will be involved in that intimately. Because our galleries going forward must reflect the musicians and the entertainers who helped to shape us since independence. And as we move into now, we would call the next phase where we are looking at the Republic. We need to define that image. And this is all a process. And the people must be involved in that process. Yeah. So the music is just the first part.
Well, I want to ask this question, and probably I'll redirect it to another panelist who was with us, and I think that will start the ball rolling. A laureate. I'm allowed to call you that, sir? Well, should I say Dr. Walker? Dr. Stefan Walker is also with us. He's online. He is a laureate, and certainly would have been the recipient of one of those ANSWER awards, a significant award to my mind in terms of recognizing those individuals in the Caribbean who have done exceptional work. And Dr. Stefan Walker is one of those individuals. I'm trying to figure out what is a Bajan song. And I know Dr. Walker, an academic music educator, PhD in cultural studies, may be able to advise as a Yankee Bajan. See what I did there?
I saw what you did there, Jamal.
That was that brilliant day, because if you caught it that easy. Dr. Walker, welcome to the program. And I want to ask you first, what is truly a Bajan song?
Well, Bajan songs have been established post-independence by the state and by the cultural institutions and by those education institutions. Now, you could argue against their position, but the major characteristics of songs that have been considered Bajan are those that come from the working class musical experiences of the Barbadian post-slavery existence. So you're talking songs that have some derivation from Tuk, have association with Calypso, from that have a certain polyrhythmic, have a certain West African type of influence plus a European influence. So those songs that have those combinations have been considered Bajan songs. Now, you could argue, you know, as time went on, as we got older and more mature as a nation, Africa still consider just that limited view as being Beijing. If we need to widen it some more to consider artists now operating on the international scene with international intentions. So by that, I mean, Rihanna, of course, how far do we go? Where do we want to draw the line and boundary when it comes to Beijing music? So that has been one of the debates we had as a panel compiling this list. How much we should consider those not from that original definition of what was considered Beijing?
Well, I have a question for you. Because beyond what you've said, there's always this conversation that Trinidadians come to Barbados and they get their songs produced. A classic example of that, 2015, Destra Garcia took over the airwaves and the world, quite frankly, with her song, Lucy, that you saw some quite interesting videos. I think that was the point where reels and those started to start being used on social media. So everybody was dancing to Lucy, produced by the Red Boys. Not only produced by the Red Boys, because all the music is there. Damien Neblett is playing on that record as well. But then it was mixed and mastered by Andrew Denny, another Beijing. So sonically, how it sounds, the levels, etc., are coming to you, whether the drums are here more. People say, well, Destra and Shaft may have written that song, but that's really a Beijing song. How do you respond to those kinds of comments, Dr. Walker?
Yeah, and that's the thing. The idea of claiming music, claiming art, is always one of these things that are very complex. And you can argue from either position. When I teach this course, and when we talk about genre at the university, I like to tell the students, all positions are valid once you can validate it with some sort of argument. So your argument is perfectly valid. You could argue that song is a Beijing song because all the creative work that goes in or that went into making the song was from Barbadians. But it becomes now against what we have considered to be Beijing over so many years and for so much time. So that's another position. So these two positions are valid, but they all have evidence to support the argument. But it comes down now as who sets the rules and who says, yep, no, we accept this, we don't accept that. So it's really one of these things that's constantly shifting. It's totally dynamic. And it all depends on your position and how you can support it. If you have the people behind you to support your option and your opinion, your argument over the other argument. And I would like to answer that better and give you a definitive answer, Jamal. But it's a very complex question. And I guess it's one of those that I'm trying to explain as simply as possible. And the summary is, once you have the support and once you have the argument and the evidence to validate your position, it is perfectly valid when it comes to this very, very, it's not a material thing such as culture and art. Once you have the support, the power to maintain that position, then you can, or within your rights, to put it forward.
Well, I'm also joined in studio by an artist who, to my mind, represents, should I say, very, I don't want to age her by saying many eras or many years of Barbadian music. But when you grow up listening to certain artists, for me, they're part of your soundtrack as a Barbadian, because that is what you're familiar with. And as a Calypsonian myself, I can take you back from Victory. I can take you straight down to Paradise with her repertoire. I want to welcome Terencia Coward-Thompson, a.k.a. TC, to Brass Stack Sunday.
Good afternoon, Jamal. Good afternoon to Barbados. Good afternoon, panelists. I'm here jumping in late, but I'm assuming that we're talking about what is Beijing music.
I want to know what is a Beijing song.
You see, I heard the back end of what, I assume it's Stefan?
Yeah.
Dr. sounds Walker. Like him, right? Okay. Dr. Walker, Stefan, I gotta call you Dr. Walker this whole time, or I could call you Stefan?
No one has to call me Dr. Walker.
Okay,
ever.
Cool, good. Stefan. I'm hearing what he's saying, and I kind of agree with him to some extent, because here's the thing for me. Music produced by the Red Boys, mm-hmm, is Beijing music. Mm-hmm. That is me. I know that most of what we would have heard from the Red Boys that the world knows has been sung by Trinidadian artists. Mm-hmm. But they're Trinidadian artists. That is what they are. They're Trinidadian artists. In the context, obviously, they're going to do soca. But the Red Boys produced the music. They built out most of what you've heard. It didn't come to them in a package can and they just reproduce it and holler, huh? They created the music with a melody structure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is fine. Rihanna's music is Bajan music in a North American context.
Yeah.
She's a Bajan and she produces the music. Somebody might say, well, she didn't write it. So what about the ones that Chantal wrote for her? Chantal's a Bajan, yeah? Chantal wrote Man Down, and that's a reggae vibe.
Livy Frank wrote What Now?
And Livy Frank, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you have that. Then you have, let's stop to think about Hal Linton.
Yeah.
Hal Linton has never sung a soca song. He has never sung a spood song. He has always done R&B, but he is a Bajan vocalist in an environment where he does what meets the environment that he is operating in. But I am still categorizing that as Bajan music. Let's go even further back. Let's look at Llewellyn Jiggs Curtin. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the album Talk To Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, beautiful album. Beautiful, beautiful music. Then we could think about Dennis Bovell. He Bajan too.
Yeah.
So it is who you're talking to at the time and how they want to view it. Because it's a weird question, because if we are going to only brand Bajan music as Bajan, as music that was a native beat created to us, the only thing that would be spooch. How many, I know that Dr. Walker and his team are doing quite a bit of work with a lot of young producers and a lot of young musicians to quote unquote create this resurgence of spooch. I don't think that we're ever going to hear spooch in its to talk format again. I don't think we're ever going to hear it like that. Every calypso or soca song that Nicholas Branker has produced has in a bit of spooch. If you've ever listened to Broken Doll, which is one of the songs he produced for me, that's a raw spooch beat with horns on top of it. So it has an element of spooch in it. So I ain't want to bend it down to it got a song like this and it got a song like that. Nicholas does a series sometimes on his social media that says, if Jill Scott was born in New Orleans, this is how this would sound. And it has a spooge feel, but you could still hear the R&B tugging in it.
Yeah.
So how do we define it and break it down? It has to evolve.
Somebody sent me a point. I have two messages here that I want to share. But someone sent a note specifically referencing what Dr. Walcott said, and then as well what you said in terms of Kevin Farmer's comments as well. The person said, well, as I always argue, and you have to know, confirm, Boots, Hit It, half of Grinder Stones, and so on, are Guyanese songs.
What?
The person said that they're Guyanese songs. They're not Bajan songs.
Well, that's what I mean. It always depends on what boundary and what criteria you're using.
You're going to use.
Yeah, because TCU use the criteria that if all the Red Boys music is Bajan music, then if you continue on that train of thought, then all of Grinder's music got Guyanese music.
Well, hold on. But I also said the artist as well. The artist has an input in it as well, because I spoke about Jiggs. Not a single Bajan produced any of the music that Jiggs sang, but I still treat Jiggs' music, forgive me, because I'm eating a traditional Bajan sweet and nut crisp. The music that Jiggs sang for me is Bajan music, even though it was R&B. Mm-hmm. For me, it was Bajan music.
He wrote the songs.
And as long as there is a certain, for me, percentage of Bajan input into the music, that's just me. So call it a simplistic approach.
Yeah, because we were then going, people would now ask us to work out the percentage now.
Exactly.
You know, that is my simplistic approach.
Got to what you're saying?
Because it almost makes me think, in that case then, Sting produced at Ice Records and Eddie was the producer, so does that mean that's a Guyanese song? Just asking.
Yeah.
But Sting wrote that material himself.
Understood, but you know, going
If you're going to use it like that.
But then here's where I'm going to drop something totally different. Because TC talked about New Orleans, or music sung by black people in this part of the Western Hemisphere exists on a particular matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you speed it up or slow it down, it moves from soca to kaiso, jazz, ragtime.
Mm-hmm.
Before the eruption of Montpellier in, was it 1907 in Martinique,
mm-hmm.
Barbadian, Trinidadian, St. Lucian musicians used to catch a boat from Martinique, go across to New Orleans, play and come back home. First ever jazz record is not in America. First ever jazz record is 1915 Trinidad and Tobago. So when we start to pull apart this matrix and understand where this music coming from, there are so many different hands in it.
Dr. Walker, I believe you also had a point you wanted to share added to that. Stefan?
Right, so mm-hmm. everyone incorporate what Kevin is saying as well too. The creativity comes first, the genres and the nation and the who owns what comes mm-hmm. after. That's mm-hmm. where the mm-hmm. ground gets very shifty and very unstable. There's a very complex thing we're talking about here. There are scholars who have written books about this and the complexities of genre, understanding genre. Because what we're really doing is building what is a Beijing genre? What does that look like? What does that entail? And my students, when we come to this topic, they love to contribute and say, well, you need to differentiate, sir, between the Beijing artist and Beijing music. They're two separate lanes we're looking at. So they draw that, and that's their distinction. That's how they deal with it. But it's even more complex than that, as TC's bringing out. And what we had to do as a panel is try to wrestle with all of this and pull together these 200 songs. Because there have been so many, as Kevin identified, so many Beijing artists through the years working in all different fields, genres, expressions,
mm-hmm.
that we now have to narrow that down to 200. That was an incredibly difficult process, and we were hoping the public, right, Kevin? And Errol,
that's definitely at 300 songs.
Correct, Errol. Errol can come and help us out. Please, public, come help us out. And by the time we're finished, exactly. Some boy will write a thesis on it and say, the Barbadian people consider Beijing music to be this, and then we can move forward at the 100th anniversary and have another debate on what is Beijing music again. And that's the beauty of it.
But the interesting thing, though, right, is that a lot of this Poge music in the 70s was based on remakes of rhythm and blues songs.
Exactly.
Oh, boy, another layer of complexity.
And there's another layer of complexity, you know, and I grew up with that.
Yeah,
that's what I grew up with, hearing those remakes of those international hits. Mm-hmm. So I think that we just can't. I think that this, for me, it is just about the creativity of the music, and that is what is important to me. The creativity, the creative element of the music. I try not to pin it down to an area. Last night I was watching doom scrolling, I think that's what young people is called.
Yeah.
And there was this chap in the UK who put out a song for the first time, and he's thinking it's something that he calls Jama, because he's from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thinking it's something that's called Jama, but then he's hearing people saying, because he says, I'm an Afrobeats artist, and then people around him are saying to him, no, you're singing soca. So he now is confused. So then he goes back now into his history to do a deep dive and realizes that one of the songs he grew up with that he thought was this serious high life song mm-hmm. from Nigeria is actually a song by Lord Kitchener.
Yes.
So he said his whole world just shackled out. Mm-hmm. Pulled the rug completely from under him.
Yep.
And he says, we have these connections with us from all across the ocean. Our transatlantic journey has brought us here.
Yeah. Correct.
And this is who we are.
Yes. It's like reggaeton is lover's rock, sung in a different language, just sing. And I remember being in Jamaica in the 1990s. This is just prior to what was called the Beijing invasion. And my Jamaican friends could not reconcile that the music that they grew up with, I forget the Jamaican artist now, who remade a lot of Beijing and Trini soca and calypso songs, Byron Lee.
Yes.
They thought all these songs were originally Jamaican.
Correct.
And we had to tell them, stop. Pump Your Brakes. Them is Bajan songs. That's the Trini song. We don't need to come to this reality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now Byron took them and he made them huge songs because there are people in Australia who are convinced that the first person to ever sing Who the Hell Is Kim is Byron Lee.
You know, I just saw a message here as well. And somebody is arguing on the point that Faluma by Allison Hynes is actually a song from Suriname. In terms of the it is a folk song from
it
Suriname.
It is a folk song from Suriname.
That was adapted. Is that to be considered a Bajan song? I think we are lighting a fire here. You know?
But it's a good fire to light. But because if we don't have this fire, we can't whittle 300 down to 60. Or suddenly see the 300 go up to 400 and still go whittle it back down to 60.
Yeah.
You know, because it makes it entirely fascinating about how we conceive of what a song is and who has the right to have the song. Because also, please note, our national anthem is based on a Methodist hymn. So, you know, there are things to pull from and to understand. Yes.
You got Jamal there looking like, what?
And every minute he's dropping these little things that making me look around. I mean,
I think that Errol is the only songwriter sitting here.
Yes, so precisely.
Errol, what's your take?
The thing is, right, as far as I see it, if a song influences the society to the extent that it made some impact, it's a Bajan song, you know. But
I didn't say it as eloquent as you, but right. I'm saying.
I like that. At the end of the day, if you go and go back to what you call Jack and Boots, these songs resonate with people and had some influence at the time, politically, socially, and otherwise. At the time when Jack was big, we know who that song is written about. He was saying that we needed to control how people access the beaches. Gabby wrote this song and it hit and it will forever. You see, even in back in St. Lucia, every place where it has some resonance to how people felt. Now, there are songs that the Dreadons wrote, You Come Here to Drink Milk. Up to now, people still know those songs. So the songs had some effect on the public.
Line, You Come In to Count Cow, is not something that Bajans say.
No, but they know it.
But they know it.
But we also have a thing here. I look at the list. There are songs that I know are Barbadian songs. I know they're Barbadian songs, or I know them to be Barbadian songs. But then when I look at The Clock, for example, one of Carolyn Leacock's greatest songs,
How are you going to tell Bajans that ain't a Bajan song? How are you going to tell Bajans Midnight Blue is not a Bajan song?
You understand?
Let's think about it. It was originally done by Melissa Manchester.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was a major hit for her. Let's be honest. True, I don't know that it was a major hit for her. Bajans truly came to know that song by hearing Wendy Allen sing it.
Vehicle Richard Stout is one of those.
Vehicle by Richard is the same thing. Carolyn had another song, Just As Long As We
Just
Have
As Long
Love.
As We Have Love, the Spinners.
Originally done by the Spinners. Yeah. So here we go. And I don't think that any Bajan ever hear the Spinners sing that song.
Yep.
It's true.
Well, let me say this. It's very interesting. It's now 11:36 here in Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. I want to go to the phone lines and see what a caller has to share. Welcome to the program. You're on the air, caller. Welcome to the program.
Who's your panel? Yes, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Go right ahead.
Okay. The definition of a Bajan song, from my vantage, would have to be written by a Bajan, and the some expression of, I think your guest Errol said, songs like Gabby, Jack, and so on, that encapsulate the experiences, the nuances of the Barbadian way of life and experience across number of years. Right, to be birthed here. I mean, music is universal. We get that, but if we're gonna categorize it Bajan, we need to have the spin and the nuances of the Bajan experience to quantify it and to categorize it. So that's my view of what Bajan song represents.
Would you say, because you said that it has to be written by Barbadian. That's the first thing you started with. But here it is. We just said Midnight Blue, Wendy Allen, Just As Long As We Have Loved, The Clock, also by Carol Lee Cox, Vehicle by Richard Stout. They're not written by Barbadians. They're covers. Are there Barbadian songs to you?
So covers, I mean, we imported them. The music scene or the music industry as what it was at that point, and we understand the, you know, what drove the, what was determined as marketable. But I think that if it does not originate with the some expression of who we are as a people and our journey, and reflecting on that and expressing that through music, then it can't be Bajan.
But would you consider Beautiful Barbados to be a Bajan song?
The epitome of a Bajan song.
But that was written by Torres.
Well,
it well, was.
I was going to jump in and say, our independence song was actually created by an American of Bajan descent.
I think, you know, we do have to be qualified as a Bajan. You can come and be Bajan by descent. So I guess.
I like your technical answer, but I. You see, as soon as you start again as songwriters, I don't know. Again, I'm not a musicologist. That is a little slippery.
That is a very slippery slope.
Because songwriters come from wherever they come from. Someone picks up the song, buys a song, and the artist performs it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the audience who hears it are the ones who then give it the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Because you remember, I'll use Calypso as a genre. A calypso becomes a folk song over time.
Mm-hmm.
All folk songs started life as a calypso. All calypsos will not become folk songs.
Correct.
And I don't know in there where some of the writers might have been Barbadian or some of the writers might not have been Barbadian. Mm-hmm. But the space in which it was written, the audience in which it listened to, and the message it then created and the memory which allowed it to be retained generation after generation after generation, makes it Barbadian. I remember when the same Nicholas Branker and a group that they started way back when in the early 90s.
Second Avenue. Okay.
When Second Avenue bought out what for us was their first song and Barbadians heard it, we were like, so who's that R&B group out these states?
Yeah, that was Cindy.
I can't remember it now, but when we first heard
Since You Came In?
Yes.
I was a teenager. When we heard that song, we went, well, I want to know who is the American artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then CBC back then showed a little music video. And we're like, wait, Bajan? Melissa, that song sounds so hot.
Correct.
I always thought Love Will Never Let You Down by Tony Narva, Peter Rambles. A song from like a Disney soundtrack.
Yep.
Like a Caribbean. You know, Little Mermaid at one point had this Jamaican accent with the crab.
Yes,
the crab.
And when I thought that Peter Ram was the crab,
mm-hmm.
and Tony was the Little Mermaid. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
There you go. And didn't Spice write some music for Little Mermaid too?
Yeah.
Or they were supposed to?
One of their tracks went into Little Mermaid.
Well, I don't want to get too far because some people are asking where they can find the song. So I want to just remind you that the Barbados Museum and Historical Society's website, barbamuse.org. .bb. Let me do that one more time.
Yes.
So you can go online. www.barbamuse.org.bb. And you can click on Learn More. Log in. Mm-hmm. And I think you can choose up to 10 songs across the categories.
Correct.
And let me tell you now, I know people can say, well, my song ain't getting, that song should be in. You have until September 15th. Let me repeat again. You have until September 15th to go on the website and to select 10 songs of your choosing. Because this is an opportunity for you to participate and for you to shape the soundtrack of 60 years of Barbados. BIM at 60. This is your opportunity.
Yes. And realize that after you choose those 10 and you go away and your friend's talking and he's like, huh, I want to change my lineup. You can actually go back in before September 15th.
Or you can change.
You can change your lineup. So you have up to September 15th, not only to create it, but to rearrange it if you so desire. But at September 15th, we stop.
Because you know, after today, I'm sure that people are going to run to say, look, I believe that Weddy Ellis out there should be in there for sure.
Okay.
And I believe Second Avenue. Wait, I forget that
Second Avenue song since you came in.
You understand? Yeah. Since you came in.
And then
they had another jam called The Time Is Right.
Yes.
That was a nice one.
Yes.
And that kind of actually felt like a little bit of Afrobeat, a little high life, because the guitar rhythm in it was a little high life. Yes.
And again, high life. Caribbean artists and reggae going to England and then going from England to West Africa and then in West Africa becoming high life. Mm-hmm. And then fellas like Fula Kinte and ever coming in. So, as I said, it's a matrix. And it's amazing how we influence each other without recognizing it.
Can you add songs still?
I think we can.
Yes.
Yes, we can definitely add songs. We can definitely add songs.
Okay. I'm looking for the website. Because you said it so fast, Jamal.
Let me do it one more time. www.barbmuse.org. .bb. Let me do that one more time to be safe and secure. Let me share it one more time, because if we can't get this wrong, this is BIM at 60. www.barbmuse.org.bb. Let me tell you, I am going to put in a song.
This is interesting.
Because I am not seeing Green Camouflage.
By David Curtin. Yeah. Mm.
Is it there? I probably am looking good, you know. I scrolling through this.
Where am I scrolling down to?
You click. So let's do it together.
Let's go back.
You click learn more.
Okay, I got click learn more.
So you click learn more.
Donate.
And then you can log in even.
Learn more. There we go. 60 songs, 60 years
soundtrack.
So you
can
see it.
And I want to add a song. I may be a little selfish to add this one.
But yeah, one of yours?
No. I ain't gonna do that.
Let me actually add it too from this year's Calypso competition.
Oh, nice.
There is a
Adrian
song called
Clark and
Woy, look at Bacchanal.
You see this Christmas?
Ooh,
it is a song by various artists.
Yes.
That song needs to be there.
Is there?
I want to know how you know every song that on the list. You just say it's there.
I went through the list.
That song, whenever Christmas comes, I'm not born in Christmas in December, but I consider myself a Christmas baby.
Okay.
It's Crop Over Then Christmas. Carol Toppin on the morning would tell you it's Christmas Then Crop Over, but that's a whole different discussion. Adrian Clark sang Christmas and Crop Over, so we can combine both of them. You see when that song plays at Christmas?
Feels like Christmas.
Oh, my. And then I don't want a Kelly and Dolly, you know. All respect to Kelly and Dolly. I want to hear them bumba. Why can't this Christmas feeling go on?
Yes.
And let me tell you, I
waited for another song because there's a triumvirate here that you missing one.
Well, the one that people are gonna expect me to
I know.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna mention that. I allow you to mention that. I have another one which is a little unorthodox.
Really? I want to hear this.
John King covered the Christmas song.
The Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
And he also sang Put Christ in Your Christmas.
Mm. Yes.
Those two songs to me, when I hear John King, because of the way his voice is, the timbre in his voice, the raspiness, but yet still the way how he enunciates, there's a feeling, it feels like a Bajan Christmas mm-hmm. when you hear that. I know you want me to say Maisie.
Mm-hmm. But yes, I want you to say Maisie.
Which Carolyn Leacock and Wendy Allen are singing background vocals on
that song. I understand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I understand. But realize that up until then, most Barbadians, Christmas was Little Drummer Boy and something else. And then Maisie turned up. He was like, I could identify with that song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know that song. I know. Listen, I know what Maisie looked like. You can visualize Maisie.
Maisie living in the neighborhood.
The only thing
next to me.
Missing is the jug. Mm-hmm. You know? But as again, but this is part of why we're doing this. You know, mm-hmm. It is about memory. It is about people coming together and saying, listen, this is how I remember that part of my life at that particular point in time. Yeah. And this for me is what the museum is trying to do, to showcase that our memories of ourselves are important and they're encapsulated in our music. And that's why BIM at 60 is so important.
So when you log in, you can also recommend songs to add to the list. But yes, listen, guys, I have serious calls here.
No problem. I want to hear the calls.
I need to. Welcome to the program. Caller, this is down. This is Brass Stack Sunday. You're on the air.
I love it.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome to the program.
Am I on?
You are, certainly.
Great. Now, I look at the dynamic through the lens of commercialization. Because what is missing in a lot of these discussions, it sounds great to be quote-unquote a Barbadian song or whatever, to be number one in these things. But at the end of the day, commercial sales is the most important part of the dynamic. Examples is always good to use. Mount Gay rum is the first rum that was ever made, but it's not the best-selling rum. It's a reality. So we got to bring that to the discourse. Otherwise, it's just, to me, a whole discussion of being praising yourself. The market has to have a say in the discussion. Market buys or not buy based on what they perceive as whatever is on sale and if it fits their particular taste or preference or whatever. And that matters a lot, especially in a space where if you're not commercially viable, a label is not going to touch you. You're not going to get the investments. And even if you go online and you have it on Spotify and blah, 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 you're not going to get the appropriate commercial sales that's necessary to get you, keep you going. And we need to put that in the discussion. We're having all these discussions right here. Not only
But how does that relate to the topic of choosing songs specifically that reflect the soundtrack of a Barbadian
society? I get into that, brother.
Okay.
Here's the thing. By narrowing what we're talking about, I always argue for a long time, Barbados has great opportunity to let the artist transition away from just the soca or the smooch. We have to be able to have people produce all forms of music confidently and let the market determine if it's a wave. We're locking this thing into what we have. It's going to limit the viability of the thing in the end. You're going to have a historical record that we're putting together. But when you check the survival of the people that are part of the historical record, it's a sad thing to see in terms of financial viability. That has to play.
Well,
if you're
going
to do it for the sake of doing it like that, that's cool, but it's not really and truly fixed to what the real situation is anymore.
Well, thank you for that contribution. I'll let Kevin Farmer, the deputy director, respond first. I think TC may also want to jump in on that.
I might get myself in trouble. I kind of see where the caller is coming from, but for us, it really was tapping into people's memories mm-hmm. about what for them constitutes the best song. Mm-hmm. Because if you to use his example of rum, by volume, some really bad tasting rum sells the most in the world. I don't
Listen
want that.
To me.
I don't want that. I want what I consider to be good rum.
Good rum.
And if my good rum...
Because you know what good rum is.
I know what good rum is. And if a case is that my good rum is only sell a couple hundred thousand cases a year. Or to use this historical tidbit, in 1890, 60,000 gallons of rum were distilled in Barbados. None of it was exported. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about us. And in this instance, I want to tap into memory about what you consider to encapsulate us as a people. I will agree that commercialization has a very important segment of it, but not how we envision this particular competition. Because then if we are going to use the commercialization, then it is what? 5 or 6 diamond albums,
yeah,
done by Rihanna.
Yeah, and we stop there.
And we stop there. But that speaks to a particular memory of a particular set of people in Correct. The last 15 years. I won't cover 60 years.
I'm falling off from you, Kevin.
Thank
you. Callers equating commercial success with value. Mm-hmm. It's a very dangerous position.
Very dangerous.
Every artist's decision or every decision to be creative stems from the need to make money, but we are talking about music that spans people from a village singing about Milligan, Brazil. Mm-hmm. When you say Milligan, Brazil, people are saying, boy, let me paint this lyric. I want to sell 10,000 records. There are no records exactly. at the time.
What were they thinking? What were the escorts thinking when they recorded Old Ivy?
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's not everything is not about commercial success. And I hear the callers, because that's one of these views that come in, man, unless it's selling money and worth nothing. But our expressions of people spans way beyond or way before the commercialization of the music industry. Mm-hmm. So just bear that in mind, caller, and everyone in Brass Stats world.
Yeah. Dr. Walker, I want to ask you a question because somebody sent a message and they wanted us to discuss the origins of Raga Soca.
Mm. Well, you have somebody in the studio there who was at the origins of Raga Soca. but Raga Soca could be attributed to the work done by Nicholas Branker in the Chamber Studios. Raga Raga is one of those seminal records where dancehall and soca music were combined together. So the key elements of it is really the slowing down of the rhythm, as well to taking the rhythms from dancehall music and injecting them into soca. So Raga Raga is one of the first records that did it, but Nicholas Branker also worked on Pump Me Up, which is one of the ones that really changed. Because now we have a different type of singing, the slower tempo. So you have the singing type style of Edwin Yearwood and all his vocal acrobatics combining now with the slower tempo and the Jamaica rhythms. But so it's that template to me that really shaped it. So then Titi can carry on.
I'll take you to, for me, Raga Raga obviously is the first thing that comes to mind, but let's think about Adonai Just Bounce and Shaka.
So true.
Adonai Just Bounce and Shaka was really the first Raga Soca song.
What
do you think about it, right?
It's one of the contributors. But correct. I like to think about genre, because genre is not to me a single moment. It's what comes after. The people mm-hmm. start to repeat and copy. Correct. So after Edwin brought out Pump Me Up, and then All Aboard, obviously, then the copying started to happen in that template.
Right,
so we acknowledge definitely the contribution made by John Ruitt and Adonai Just, because those are my guys. When we look at what was copied after, the one that really kicked it off is that work that y'all were doing in the 90s with the Beijing Invasion.
With the Beijing Invasion. And the truth is that after that, the Trainees came to Barbados, and every one of them came to Nicholas because they wanted the sound.
Wow.
And that's why they came to Nicholas, because they wanted the sound. Nicholas will tell you the story of Marshall calling him. He wanted a song to sound like Jammers. And Nicholas said, I don't do that.
I have a problem, though, with this list.
Mm. A problem.
Mm. A problem. I like that.
Yes. I'm seeing, I've won a few songs here that did well in terms of the bashment, and I want to talk bashment a little bit.
Okay.
So I see Stiffy Tech Off Something. Mm-hmm. I see Lead Pipe and Sadis. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, Porgy and Murder Condense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss it.
I see Mobby. Now, I ain't see, I remember, it is his first Road March. There are very few people who have won two Road March titles in this country. Bruce Lee Almighty has won two Road March titles. But the first one, Mobby,
was an Out and Out Bashment song.
Out and Out Bashment song. Mm-hmm. And Kevin, you said something earlier which I thought was interesting. Calypso, Bajan sounds can eventually become folk music over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
When you look and see how school children were performing Mobby, you can say to yourself, this is out of this world. But I also want to make a case for Crime Son. It's specific sounds I'm looking for, you know. I look too good. I make sure I look too good.
You talking about he sees.
I'm also not seeing. I can go and add them on myself.
That's okay.
But you can
add want them you on. To.
I also ain't seen a Moldy Chief.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of Moldy Chief music, whether we are talking about Ish.
But Crime Son is here. Throw a tantrum. Hello.
Not can be. That's an okay Crime Son sound.
Yeah, but you see, that is the thing.
It gets lovely subjective.
The impact that.
Lines off.
Like Master TT.
People can add. But at the end of the day, in a way, the democratic process is who's going to vote for it.
Yeah. So exactly.
At the end of the day, when we have our cutoff time, and we go and look at all of the submissions and we begin to tally up the 60. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of songs that people love who might not be there, because at the end of the day, it is the people who vote.
Correct.
And all it says is that at this particular point in time, fix it. Barbadian said these are the songs that they liked. And then we will then do the deep dive into those 60 songs and begin to add the historical context. Mm-hmm. And speak to the composers. Well, why you wrote that song? Mm-hmm. What is that song really about? Speak to the singers. Why did you decide to phrase it in that way? And really dive down into the song. I'll use this very quickly because I know time is getting away. Mm-hmm. Right now, Barbadians, when they go out for dinner, two birthday songs get sung.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Rick's Happy Birthday. And Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday. How many people know that Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday was written to advocate for Martin Luther King Day
yep.
to be Martin Luther King Day?
Correct.
You know? So there's an activism about that song that we forget, because all we sing, Happy Birthday. Excuse my tone deafness. But, you know, so when we get these 60 songs that the Barbadian public has curated, we will then do the deep dive into the history and the context and bring that to you. And as you walk through the museum, temporary exhibition, then going into our permanent exhibition, you get to explore those songs. And then within there, we get the wider discussion around what Barbadian music would have come from. Mm-hmm. From the big band era to the era when fellas playing violin and sax was in a tuck band. It don't happen anymore, all the way to present, because we've got such a long history of music dating back, let's call it 400 years. The oldest recorded enslaved song is not to be found in America, but it's to be found from Barbados.
But part of the challenge we would have had to, right? If you had put this out there as a competition where people could just come on and put in songs, the people who use the social media more so than the other people.
Yeah.
With seriously influence.
Yeah, and you don't want it not to be respectful to the actual individuals who actually reflect the true soundtrack of our country. We do have quite a few calls. Everson, thank you so very much for joining us.
Quickly, Jamal, I just want to make one point before your time runs out. Mm-hmm. The things that we need to recognize, period, as what we're doing here, is that we are doing what every single society that's constructed good or great musicians have done. Musicians are considered great not necessarily because they're great, but because people around them thought they were great and did the work. And we are doing, the museum is doing, I commend them, they're doing the work of placing value on our creative process. Yeah. For example, Bat is not Bat because his work is so great that everybody knew him. No, a musician later on took his work and said, you know what, this should be considered great. And that's the work we are doing now. And I'm so proud of what Kevin, Errol, and all the team are doing at the museum. We're putting in that work. And as educators, we need to do it too. We need to put in that work. Unless T is not going to know who Bamba is. That's right. The work that we're putting in and playing the music. That's the next thing that needs to happen now. It's not just a museum piece. It needs to be played. It needs to be performed. And that's the work we need to do now as Barbados moving into the 100. Yeah.
Correct.
Thank you so very much for that. Let's see if we can get in probably one or two more calls. It's now 3 minutes past one. Time flight. Welcome to the program. Caller, you're on the air. Caller? Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Go right ahead. Well, this is Brass Talk Sunday. Welcome to the program. Hello, you are on the air. This is Brass Talk Sunday.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead, caller.
Yeah, Mr. Stockham, how are you, sir?
I am well.
And to your panel, I've been here taxing my brain about this whole program. And I'm thinking what you should do it in like stages where you got best folk songs, the 20 best folk songs, you got the best 20 calypso songs, and then you go to like soca, and spooge, you can't forget spooge. So not the boy will get left out, because I believe any original music got to be like Shillin, that kind of music, Shillin, that's how I used to play, and Gabby, Hamilton, and that song, because if you go to America, and you tell them about original sound, they're going to go straight to the country, rest of their music. And that's what will become number one. But if you do it the way you're doing it, a lot of people can get, a lot of tunes will get left, a lot of music. So if you should do it and for...
Well, it may be difficult to do that.
I thank the caller for what he said. I think you really do need to go to the website, www.barbmuse.org.bb. And then when you go down the way in which we've listed the songs, you'll begin to see that patterning. There's soca, there's kaiso, there are folk songs, there's R&B,
there's rock, there's gospel, there's
classical, there's jazz. So there's 17 genres of music that the panel have curated that you can choose what for you are the better songs. That again, remember that the defining thing of BIM at 60 is that soundtrack that you think personally best defines and encapsulates to you what is Barbados in the last 60 years. So it's a really personal choice that we are bringing to the public to say, this is how you've told us that songs help you to understand who we are as Barbadians.
I would want to ask you, Kevin, what is the voting process?
The voting process is that you are asked to create a profile.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You choose your 10 songs.
Okay.
Now, up until September 15 at 11:59 p.m., you can go and change the 10 songs that you've chosen.
Okay.
And then that is submitted. It is tabulated automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And we are then given that final list.
What I would add, though, is that you are allowed to vote on an email address. So if you have more than one email address, have more than one go at voting for 10 songs.
You teach people how to cheat.
No, not really. It is extremely difficult. I voted, right?
Uh-huh.
And I could find more than 10 songs.
I got four email addresses.
So I used two email addresses and voted for 20 songs.
I have four email addresses.
Yeah. All right, then. But at the end of the day...
But it's difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult. But it has to be difficult. And it should be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're asking people to dive into their memory. And we've also got some memory aids. So when you go on the website... The songs that have been selected, you can actually go to
click
YouTube
and hear them.
I hear them.
Okay,
to
lovely.
Bring back that memory.
Because I was actually just looking there and I saw
and
the
I think
solid
that is and I think that is so important. That allows you to create your list, which then gets into the larger list from which you will then curate the 60. And it shouldn't be easy. It's like deciding who's the West Indies top team for the last 100 years. You understand? It should not be easy.
That is already a fight, you know.
It's a fight, but that it should be a fight. Especially
for positions that...
Yes, but it should be a fight. Because you know what it says? That our music has been so excellent for so long.
Yeah.
There are too many choices. I really got to dive deep into deciding who should make it.
Yeah. But one thing I must say, right? We will feature many of the entertainers. Mm-hmm. There will be video created on them and a documentary. So
yeah,
lovely.
They will not be left
out. Oh, documentary as well.
Yes.
Excellent. I think we gonna do one more, then wrap up. One more call, and then we'll wrap up. Welcome to the program, caller.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Slocum.
Good afternoon to you.
And good afternoon to your distinguished guest.
Thank you.
Mr. Slocum, you're welcome. You know that this program is so important and rich that it cannot be contained within the walls of a three-hour program. So you need to extend the program for another 3 hours.
Or Mr. Slocum needs to invite us back.
And Mr. Slocum, the gentleman who said that he has 2 email addresses and he voted for 20 songs, that's okay. What we might have a problem is if you use the those 2 email addresses to vote for the same 10 songs over and over. But Mr. Slocum, Mr. Farmer said a number of things that jumped out at me. I know you have to be short. I was really impressed. To hear him say that the first or the oldest recorded song by enslaved persons actually Barbadian and not American. Mm-hmm. Let me say this, Mr. Farmer, that can't be true. I'm amazed to hear that. I'm also amazed to hear you say that, is it Beethoven who wrote a song for the best violinist at the time, a Barbadian?
Yes.
Bridge
Tower was his name. You can actually Google it.
Right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Right, but this Barbadian, was he actually of African descent?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
He was.
And finally, you said something that I hold on to philosophically. You mentioned about bringing all the threads together. That is so important.
Because
each little thread is important as you try to weave a fabric of excellence that thinks of dignity and pride as a people. Because we know that we've been severely damaged from the traumas of slavery and so on. So it's a rebuilding process. But we need to pay attention to the details. So I like that concept you used about bringing the threads together. And finally, the song that I absolutely love that stands out, because to me it is kind of raw and fresh. And I was also amazed to hear that the song was written by, if I heard correctly, Alvaro del Congo.
Welcome to Morning Sun.
His version of it to me.
It's his song, I believe.
Hello?
It's his song, Dr. Walker, am I correct?
Yeah.
It's his song, TC?
To the best of my knowledge.
Yes, it is, yeah. Very much so.
It's his song. Marissa Lindsay covered it. Carolyn Leacock covered it. Mary Min covered it.
I did a cover of it, but I didn't record it. I did it for the Prime Minister's Gala reception many years ago. See? Nicholas would have rearranged it. Beautiful arrangement.
Yeah.
Alvaro del Congo. Wow.
Yes, his version. You can hear, in my opinion, the phrasing is it sounds to me authentic. His phrasing is real, and he has what to me is a really impressive nasal song. I absolutely love that song. So I'm enjoying the conversation. Have a great afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you so very much. Well, it's 11 minutes past one. We have a few more calls. Let's try to take one more. I'm so sorry. You're gonna have to do this again. Welcome to the program, caller.
Yes, good afternoon to all.
Well, trust you to be the last caller.
Yes, I want to know if Shirley Strutt walk away for love on that list.
Of course. Yes.
It is on the list. You dance to that song?
Yes, I love that song as well. And he's Bajan, and it's a classic.
But you know what song you want on that that list too?
No, another thing, if you want change, Bashman should be on that list as well.
Tell them the song you want.
Night Point.
What call is our name, we know.
We want to call it for Rapso.
Listen, her favorite song, Rapso by Led Pipe. But you know, that may not make the list.
Funny enough, before I came in here, I was actually doing a radio interview with a talk show in Miami, and they asked me what was my favorite Bashment song, and I told them Lead Pipes Rough Soul. It is for me, as Everson was saying, it is how he weaves his lyrics together that really, really captures me. And his rhythm, the staccato-ness of his rhythm, and he can also lay back on it. I am impressed with Lead Pipe. Love me a Lead Pipe, love me a Borgito.
Yeah. Dr. Stefan Walker, I'm coming to you. People are messaging me now on my private phone saying that they're trying to get in. And before the program ends, it is 1:13. In 2 minutes, we wrap. I am so sorry. Dr. Stefan Walker, closing comments from you.
Closing comments. As I said before, I love the work the Barbados Museum is doing, the National Culture Foundation, in this whole project. And I look forward to the other 60th celebratory projects as we look to build confidence among our people.
Errol Clark.
What mirror image do you have of yourself? That is what we are helping to determine. We need to see ourselves in our own mirror. And that's what the museum is doing in this process.
Okay. TC?
This project is going to help to bring young Barbadians to understand the impact that Barbadian music has had generation after generation. And not just what we know here, but also our reach in the diaspora and internationally.
Kevin Farmer, final comments from you, and you must tell us where we can go once again.
BMHS and NCF collaboration, BIMAT 60, curating the voice of our nation. www.barbmuse.org.bb. Vote. Your vote counts. Your vote is necessary for us to curate what that Barbadian songbook that defines 60 years of independence will sound like. Thank you.
Well, thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to thank you, the panel as well. John Stout, thank you. Amazing producer and technical operator. Joe Fornin left the building yet. But nonetheless, I want to thank the panel, and I want to thank certainly our listeners. I want to apologize to our callers who we're trying to reach. It is Brass Tack Sunday, and sometimes these things happen, but we know we had a very fruitful and a robust discussion. Until next time, David Ellis will be with you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m., where Down to Brass Tacks continue. I'm Jamal Slocum, wishing you a wonderful afternoon. Bye-bye.